And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Adam Johnson making sure everything runs smoothly. We'll be with you until 5:55 when we turn things over to the Atlanta Braves, the first of a three-game set with the New York Mets. Once again, 5:55 for pregame. First pitch at 6:10. Also a little bit later this hour, around 5:25, Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. But we're back to our usual spot every Friday during the football season. Handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. As always, a pleasure, buddy. Welcome back to the show, Lee.
Oh, thanks so much. Happy to be back. And only two games canceled this week. It seems like two games canceled every weekend. It's going to be kind of par for the course, but I'm glad that the Big Ten is going to eventually join in.
Well, and that's one of the things to be paying attention to as well. So they'll be back into the fray. And then we get the SEC starting in 8 days, a week from tomorrow. So that'll be fun. And certainly I think it ramps up the attention nationwide as well.
Yeah, I'm ready. I just I just wish I didn't have Carolina last week. If that game had been turned around, it would have gone from a good to a great weekend.
By the way, what were your thoughts? I didn't get a chance to get into this conversation with you, but watching Florida State, you know, they get off to the good start. First of all, the game gets delayed with weather, and if you're ever around Tallahassee or even Miami for that matter, you kind of grow accustomed to games being delayed because of weather conditions. So Florida State gets off to the nice start. The game gets stopped again, and then they just never could recapture any type of momentum, and just Georgia Tech, they were struggling early on, and then they just seemed to put together enough plays to pull the game out in the end.
Johnny, Florida State's a mess.
Yeah, I know.
I like that roundabout way of trying to maybe justify that Florida State should have been in the game, but it could have been worse. I mean, Georgia Tech missed that short field goal and had one block, so I'm just shocked that they didn't. How they pulled the scholarship offer to Jeff Sims. I mean, he was their guy.
Right.
I think they made a mistake there.
And, you know, look, he didn't play a perfect game for Georgia Tech, but to your point, he was a commitment to Florida State. He ends up at Georgia Tech, and he gets the last laugh as Georgia Tech now 1-0 and Florida State 0-1.
Yeah, it's incredible what's going on with both of our schools. Miami, the only way they got a decent quarterback for the first time in almost 20 years is they had to go the grad transfer route. So, you know, at least we got that with De'Ara King.
Which, by the way, that'll be one of the games we'll be looking at. What did you learn, by the way, before we get into our first game? What did you learn from an NFL perspective as far as no preseason games? One of the things that I saw, certainly, you know, quarterbacks not always being on the same page as receivers, and I think it's just because it's tough to match that game speed. So you saw a lot of passes being thrown behind the backs of receivers. And, you know, fortunately for a lot of these quarterbacks, those numbers could have been a lot worse as far as turnovers, as far as throwing interceptions, where in a lot of cases, I think these defensive backs got caught off guard and like, oh, the ball's right in their hands. And so those numbers could have been even a lot worse over the weekend.
Yeah, I thought the quarterback play wasn't bad at all. I mean, you know, without a preseason game, it's almost incredible. Look at someone like Joe Burrow. I mean, look what he did. First game, he was decent. Last night, I thought he was incredible. I mean, for the protection he had, which was spotty at best, boy, I mean, they don't have a whole lot right now, but if they can keep him healthy, they're going to have a pretty good team in a couple years.
All right, let's get things started. Central Florida taking on Georgia Tech, and we mentioned Georgia Tech. Once again, you have to, you know, hats off to them, you know, hanging around and then getting a nice win to begin the year. Look, it's not the Florida State of old. I understand that. Central Florida, now this will be interesting to see how the playoff committee looks at the teams from the American Athletic Conference when they'll have a full complement of games being played. And then you mentioned the Big Ten, where, you know, how you're going to compare, say, an unbeaten team, if there is one, from the American Athletic Conference with a team that a one-loss team that played three or so fewer contests. And that'll be one of those things. But, you know, that's down the road. First things first, here's Central Florida trying to get, what, their second national championship in the last 5 years? Joke, joke,
right.
joke there. But Central Florida.
Proclaimed national
champion. Yeah, exactly. Looking for another parade at Disney World. But tomorrow afternoon, a 2:30 start time, Central Time, over in Atlanta. Central Florida, a 7.5-point favorite against Georgia Tech. And by the way, all three of us, you, myself, along with Alan Bell, all started the year 3-2. So we're off to, that's 60%. So we'll like that. We'll take that. Central Florida, Georgia Tech. I like Georgia Tech only because they've got the one game and they're getting 7.5. They may not win this game, but I think Central Florida will struggle at times to get on the right page. I think Central Florida probably wins a close game. But the 7.5 point, you know, to me, that's just a little bit too much. So I'm going to take Georgia Tech plus the 7.5 because I really thought that they did, you know, enough good things last week in Tallahassee. So I'm going to take them. And Allen's on the other side. He's taking UCF and giving the 7.5.
So I think Florida State's a mess. And so even though Georgia Tech is improved, you know, they got three grad transfers to come in on the offensive line, and they were able to shore up that weakness. But I just don't think they're that much better. And sometimes, I don't know if Central Florida man-for-man is much better than Georgia Tech, but it's the style of play. So they go quick. They're going to get an extra 12 to 15 plays in a game than you normally see in college football. And Central Florida is one of these teams, I think they're better early in the season. They catch teams just not used to being on the field that long and the pace, and they just hit on big plays here. More plays means more scoring. I like Central Florida 38-24.
So you don't think they're going to have any hiccups as far as with the preparation, COVID-19, everything else leading into this game?
Not Central Florida. Right. One of the few teams that may not.
All right, so we can at least for another week brag about this. I think this will be the last time we say this the rest of the year. But how about tomorrow night, 6:30 start time, until the SEC and Big Ten kick in? You know, right now the ACC enjoying these nice top 25 matchups, but you got Louisville. You know, they took care of business against Western Kentucky, taking on Miami, the Hurricanes, taking care of business against UAB. So what do we know about them? You know, to me, I think we're, I mean, I think it's, we look at where they are, and you have to go all the way back to midway through 2018, the last time the Hurricanes were ranked in the top 20 like this. And once again, I think this will be the last time they're ranked in the top 20 the rest of the year. Louisville at home, a 2.5-point favorite. Not going with your heart. I'm going to be interested to see if you go with your head or not. But I'm going to take Louisville at home, giving the 2.5. And once again, Alan on the opposite side, he's going to take the Hurricanes and plus the 2.5.
I knew I liked Alan. I mean, great guy. So obviously my heart tells me Miami. I just think that this is Louisville's circle game. This is the game that they've wanted the entire offseason. So they played poorly in the game last year at Miami. They gave up 52 points. I think three or four of the touchdowns were busting coverage by the Louisville secondary. In that game, Cunningham, their quarterback, and Becton, their star offensive lineman, went out of that game. And I think that contributed to the loss. But Miami played their best game and Louisville their worst game. Miami, four clear weaknesses in the offseason they needed to shore up. They got a kicker, grad transfer from FIU. They had lost three games last year, one with a missed extra point and two with short field goals of less than 30 yards. So check mark there. They got De'Ara King. I think he's going to be the best quarterback since Ken Dorsey. But still, the offensive line is just not very good. I don't know if any of these kids on the offensive line would start for a power team like an Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, or Ohio State. So still really poor on the offensive line. And cornerback position's a problem. They got one pretty good cornerback in Blades Jr., but the other side with Ivy, I just think the kid's weak. And behind him, they only have five total cornerbacks on the roster. Another one hit the transfer portal last week. And then two of those five kids are true freshmen. So I think that they're going to try to expose the cornerbacks here. And Tutu Atwell, a kid that Miami should have gone after. He wanted to come here, if memory serves me correct. And then, you know, they went for Jeff Thomas instead. Kid was always seemed to be in trouble. suspended quite often and turned out didn't make the roster for the Patriots. So I think Tutu Atwell is going to be a tough guard here. And I love Scott Satterfield. I just think it's 17-8-1 against the spread, one of the rising young stars here in college football, the coaching ranks. I think it's going to be a great game, though, in a barn burner, Louisville 42-38.
All right, before we get into the NFL action, remind the listeners, if they're catching you for the first time, what can you do for them, not just this weekend, but what can they expect throughout the year for you?
So, you know, we won the first week. We went 2-1 last week, 8-5. And this past week already started off with a winner on the total, again, with Cincinnati and Cleveland on Monday night. So they want to hop on board. Now's the time. We rate our games from 10 to 50 units. Our service is a phone service. You call once a day. You hear every single game on a tape. And we have our first 40 to 50 unit play. And as you can attest to, Johnny, you get these games. We send you these 40 to 50 unit plays. We're over 75% over the last decade on these big releases. So if they'd like to get that game that goes tomorrow, 2 weeks, just $297, ParamountSports.com.
All right, let's turn our attention to the NFL, and all three of our NFL games we're looking at involve teams from the AFC South. First up, Baltimore and Houston. Boy, you know, how about this? You know, the Titans fans are going to be pulling for Baltimore. I think the NFL must hate Houston. They start the year on that Thursday night against Kansas City, and then they have to follow that up by hosting Baltimore coming up on Sunday. And we don't know what the future holds as far as there'll be teams, certainly with players having to sit out because of COVID-19, et cetera. A great opportunity if you're a fan of the Titans to be pulling for Baltimore with a chance for Houston to start the year 0-2. I started Baltimore right behind Kansas City in my preseason power ratings in the NFL. And just watching Baltimore, I understand they beat Cleveland, and certainly Houston is better than Cleveland. But with that said, just Baltimore executed like they were in midseason form last week. And I expect that to continue. I'm going to take the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm going to expect them to put Houston in the 0-2 hole to begin the year. So I'm taking the Ravens -7. Allen is also on the same side, taking the Ravens -7 against Houston on Sunday.
Again, this is the second week. I mean, we're on opposite sides the first three games. Here's a telling stat, and I look at this often. As good as I think Baltimore is, I think this is the game that Houston wants. They were embarrassed at home, 41-7 last year. The last 34 offenses that have scored 50 or more touchdowns during the past 12 years averaged nearly 12 fewer touchdowns the following season. I got to think that these teams in the offseason spent a lot of time looking to defense Lamar Jackson here. And I just think that Houston's one of those teams that's going to improve a lot from the first week to the next. They had a lot of moving parts, receiver and running back, that they had to work in that they didn't have weren't able to play a preseason game. And I think that hurt them. So I'm going to call for the biggest upset of the weekend, Houston 34-28 over Baltimore.
Wow. All right, yep. So Indianapolis, you know, when the Colts were able to acquire the services of Phillip Rivers, you know, just something about these quarterbacks, you know, who they realize, you know, more games behind in front, they're approaching these games, just like we saw with Ben Roethlisberger on Monday night, like a kid in a candy store, just enjoying the moment, right? So I expected the Colts to get off to a good start, and then what do? They laid the egg against Jacksonville. And when you look at, you know, what Jacksonville, I'm still trying to figure out how they even won this game against the Colts, because right now when you look at their rankings as far as offensively and defensively in the NFL, they're in the bottom two in both categories. And so, you know, with that said, so here's Indianapolis at home, and now they're taking on a Minnesota team that has playoff aspirations for the year, and Minnesota laid an egg against Green Bay. Both teams need a win. Neither team wants to begin 0-2. You got Indianapolis at home. They're giving Minnesota the 3. You know, I think, to me, the fact that they are at home, I still believe in Phillip Rivers, and I feel like he can have a bounce back performance. His back is against the wall, so I'm going to take the Colts, give Minnesota the 3. And once again, I'm on the opposite side with Allen. Allen has taken Minnesota plus the 3.
Okay, so we're on the right side here, hopefully. So I think Indianapolis is going to be a good team. They just, for some reason, can never go to Jacksonville and win. Doesn't make sense, but they can't. The problem for Minnesota, if Indianapolis is able to bully them and can control the line of scrimmage, then that will set up the passing game. That's when Phillip Rivers is most effective. And Minnesota has three cornerbacks that are all 23 years or younger. They're two defensive ends, which really had big-time seasons last year and were one of the main reasons they were one of the better teams. Not with the team. I mean, right now, Everson Griffin, he goes to Dallas in the offseason in free agency, and Danielle Hunter, he's on the mend with a neck injury. So I like Indy here, 28-20.
All right, and then finally coming up on Sunday, the Tennessee Titans. Look, the game should not have been close on Monday night. If you add the 11 points that they did not get because of the kicking game, we wouldn't even been talking that negatively as far as on Tuesday. But it did occur. Tennessee did need a last-second field goal to beat Denver. But, hey, it's a win, it's on the road, and you march on. Coming up on Sunday, they're taking on Jacksonville, a team with a surprise win over Indianapolis, and so now they're on the road. The Titans have won the last six meetings against Jacksonville in Nashville. They've also won seven out of the last nine contests, and Derrick Henry is just making a career against Jacksonville. And when these two teams match up, all you have to do is just look at what he's been able to get done, you know, against the Jaguars. I mean, we go back to two seasons ago with that Thursday night performance, 238 yards, including a 99-yard touchdown run. Last year against Jacksonville, he had a 159-yard game with two scores. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and he's doing it not just with his legs. He's also caught a long touchdown pass against Jacksonville as far as taking it short and then taking it to the house back in 2017. With that said, you know, it's Jacksonville, and for whatever reason, sometimes Tennessee plays down to Jacksonville. I don't think they have to worry about getting a loss, but they are going to be without the services of A.J. Brown. I think the secondary is questionable, especially the fact that they don't have a Dory Jackson for the first few weeks of this season as well. And, you know, to me, I think Jacksonville will do just enough to linger around, but the fact that they also get the 7.5, to me, that was the difference maker. So I'm going to take the Jaguars. They're going to lose the game, but I'm going to take the 7.5. And Alan Bell is on the other side. He's taking the Titans, giving the 7.5.
So when I look at this game, I just think that Jacksonville's going to try to shorten the game. Gardner Minshew, he doesn't throw long too often, but boy, is he accurate. 19 for 20 last week. And I like his receivers. You know, they add to that receiving core. Chenault, the receiver from Colorado, and you know, they just move the chains, and their defensive line is underrated. Yeah, they got rid of some star players, but sometimes you don't need those guys to compete. And I think coming off that game, I think it was a physical game against Denver. Obviously, they should have won the game by more, but on the short week and facing Jacksonville, more than a touchdown a lot of times is a little too much in the NFL. I think Tennessee wins this game here 23-20, but I like Jacksonville plus the points.
All right, and then finally, the game of the week. You have Troy, a three-point favorite against Middle Tennessee State.
Well, yeah, if they want to get that game, have a strong feeling on that game, just call 800-400-9741. In fact, I'll even throw in the basketball game tonight, the Lakers in Denver. So in Miami, we're obviously very attuned to what's going on the other side of the NBA. Would love to, if Miami wins and makes it to the championship, face LeBron in the finals. That would be outside of the Denver Lakers final, the Boston Lakers final, I think would be very intriguing for the national stage also. So if they want to get both games for free, just call 800-400-9741. Like I said, we're on a roll to start the year. You're looking to hop on board. Now's the time. Don't wait until November, December. And go to ParamountSports.com.
Hey, we appreciate you, buddy. Have an incredible weekend. Happy winnings, and we'll talk again next Friday.
Okay. Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you. That's Lee Sterling, handicapper with Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com. Once again, if you want the free picks, 800-400-9741. That's 800-400-9741. Coming up on the other side, we'll have a chance to visit with Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. He's coming up. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.